So Donald Trump has effectively changed the GOP party platform to be moderately pro-choice. What do pro-life voters do?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator Dr. Michael Brown, your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome to the Line of Fire broadcast. We will do our best today to function as your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity and wade through a difficult political, moral, cultural, spiritual issue, the pro-life issue and the elections. If you want to get in on the conversation on this particular topic, that's all we'll take calls on today. The number to call is 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Before we go any further, just received a note from a younger colleague thanking me for the emails we send out every week. These keep you updated. I have an article that'll be going live. It's actually live in some places already, dealing with the very subject we're talking about today, but you'll have the document in front of you to sort through. Lots of pertinent things we're putting out in writing and on video. And once a week, we send you an update to let you know what's been out. These are resources that will help you, that equip you, that pastors and leaders use across the country. Many a time I'll go on a radio show to do an interview and the host will say, we use your material on a regular basis for fuel for the fires of our show. So take advantage of this. It's a free service we provide. It'll help you stay equipped, especially in the busyness of life with so many voices out there. So take a moment, go to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org, and click subscribe. All right, wonderful. Let me say out of the gate that personally, my own conviction that you cannot be a consistent pro-life Christian and vote Democrat. That's just my conviction. I'm not God. I can't tell you what to do or not do. I've had Christians call in who say they're pro-life and explain why they vote Democrat. I wholeheartedly differ. To me, when we do that, we are complicit with a radical pro-abortion party. We are casting our vote in a direction that could get justices appointed to the courts, that could bring damaging, terrible rulings. We are upsetting the direction of the pro-life momentum in America. You have President Biden saying if he gets in again that he wants to restore Roe v. Wade and try to do it in an even more ironclad way. So when you vote Democrat, that's what you are voting for, and in that sense, complicit with the shedding of innocent blood. So in my view, you cannot be a consistent pro-life voter and vote Democrat. That is my conviction, which I'm sharing openly and plainly. Until now, since 1984, the Republican Party platform has been very consistently and strongly pro-life. It has even called for a federal ban on abortion and or a constitution amendment for human life. And it would basically say that under the 14th Amendment, which protects the life of every American, that that life begins in the womb. And some of this language was a direct result of Ronald Reagan becoming strongly pro-life and then advocating for that in the party platform. So that has been part of the party platform now for 40 years. 40 years. And when I look at who I'm voting for, I do look at platforms. I look at the political leader as well. But I do look at the platform, even in principle, in the sight of God, that this is what we are standing for. This is what we were standing against. Even the amount of references to God in the party platform, or the strength of standing for Israel, or the strength of standing for marriage as God defines it. These things were important, even though I don't put my trust in a party. I absolutely do not put my trust in the Republican Party to bring about moral and cultural change. Absolutely not. I do not put my trust in a political leader to reform the nation. But I do believe they have a function. And to the degree they have a function, I will vote accordingly. It is up to God working through the church to bring moral and cultural change to America. Politics has its place, But our mission is to change hearts and to change lives through the gospel and to stand up for what is right and to push back against sin and injustice and unrighteousness and cast a vote calling on political leaders to do their part to do what is best for America. So let's go back to the days of slavery. Could you possibly be a pro-abolition Christian and vote for a party or candidate who is pro-slavery? Obviously not. It would be a one-issue decider for you, just as this is for many pro-life Christians in America to this day. So we don't put our trust in the party, but to the extent that a party has a role and a political leader has a role, we cast our vote in a sober, clear-headed way. So what has now happened is that President Trump and his team have pushed through a new revised platform, everything radically shortened, with 20 promises. It's mainly a campaign manifesto as opposed to a philosophical platform in great depth. They effectively pushed this forward, and they did it in a very aggressive and strong-handed way that did not allow for discussion, did not allow for a lot of give and take, and basically said, this is where it's going. The platform is basically now going to be a political statement that reflects the values of the candidate. And because President Trump believes that if you argue for a federal ban on abortion, or even from 15 weeks and older, a federal ban, that will negatively affect the voting. And because it's now back to the states, that's good enough. And he himself is not strongly pro-life. He'll speak out against late-term abortion, but otherwise wants women to be able to have access to an abortion pill, which kills the baby in the womb, and says that he does stand for exceptions for, say, rape, incest, etc. So he is not what you could call pro-life, let alone, as he said, the strongest pro-life president in American history. A couple of folks who were closely involved with this meeting that just took place, got some texts last night from one of them. After what the Trump operatives did to the biblically grounded members of the platform committee yesterday, going to the RNC in Milwaukee is not going to be nearly as much fun. They were Gestapo-like, they were Stalinist, took all phones, but the staff took pictures on every vote, hands up to record it. Horribly controlling, very disconcerting. We better pray this is not the future of the GOP. Life is gutted, meaning the statement about life in the platform. Marriage is no longer defined. Israel is one sentence. God, which is mentioned in the previous platform 15 times, was mentioned 2 flippant times. Not a good sign. God, help us. This is sent to me by a colleague, closely connected political colleague, but sent anonymously. Someone else who was there said this: we absolutely got rolled on the life issue. We were crushed on that issue. Now, bear in mind, and I'm going to read you what the new platform says. Bear in mind that of the 20 points of action, pro-life, standing against abortion, is not one of the 20 points. It's one of the 20 points is, for example, standing against radical transgender ideology. Okay, good. And standing against infiltration of our borders by those who shouldn't be here. Okay, great, fine. And other points that we would agree with and much in the platform, that's good. But things that are especially important to us got gutted. So this individual, whose name I will not mention, we absolutely got rolled on the life issue. We were crushed on that issue. For the first time in 48 years, the platform is not for protecting unborn life. Much of the platform is very, very good, but it is no longer a platform of the grassroots. It's a campaign statement for the president. It has 57 points of action in it that he intends to take in the next 4 years. It does not contain principles or statements of belief, and we got rolled on every vote. The platform committee process used to be 5 days. This convention was reduced to 2 days, and it ended up being only 4 hours. There was not a single vote on a single issue or a single plank. It was an up-and-down vote on the entire platform in its entirety, as written by the president's campaign team. It's a complete change of direction, and the difficulty may become that every platform after this will merely be a statement of the candidate's policy positions. Not to be misunderstood, the majority of the platform is very, very good. but there was not a single discussion on any single issue in the entire platform. There are only about 22 of us who wanted to address the life issue. We definitely got rolled on the vote. It definitely was not a grassroots convention. It was meticulously orchestrated. Every motion, every second, every move to vote, everything was orchestrated. It was a brilliant political job. This is exactly what Karl Rove did with conventions 24 years ago. I've not seen it done so well since Karl did it. Absolutely no space for discussion or deviation or amendment or change. It was a brilliant political job, not good for the grassroots, but great for the campaign. Guys, let's grab clip number three. This was one of the women who was a delegate there at this meeting. And this is what she had to say. She's been to these meetings many times before, was expecting to go and vote and have a voice on what happened. This is what she had to say.
Take me inside. There were no phones. Was there any debate? How unusual was this year?
It's never happened before. I've done this several times. There was no committees. We always had subcommittees where we can go in and work on a section of the platform. We can propose amendments, debate them, add them. Always happens. I've done it many times. And then that would usually take today, and then tomorrow we would come back and meet as a complete platform, and sometimes there'd be more amendments. They didn't allow any amendments. They didn't allow any discussion. They rolled us. That's what they did. We only spent thousands of dollars to be here, and what everything they told us they were going to do isn't what happened. None of it happened. I've never seen this happen before. I don't understand why they did it. And I'm extremely disappointed that we do not have any pro-life language. There are good things in this platform. There are a lot of things in there that I support and that I would want to, but I didn't vote for this because we've never had a platform. I've been coming to these conventions since 1992, and this is the first time we don't have a pro-life platform. The platform simply says that we oppose late-term abortion. Well, what about before that? There's nothing, it doesn't even want any place mention the unborn baby at all. Never happened before. And I've never been treated so badly to have them force this vote on us before we even had a chance to read the platform. We didn't even have it. They gave it to us, but then they had a meeting that with people speaking. So we glanced through it, but we didn't have time to study it and read it. And then all of a sudden somebody made a motion to vote on the platform. And that was it. And then they sent us home, said, well, goodbye.
All right. So let's get past the personal issues of how people were treated. We now have this reality that there is not what you could call a strong pro-life message or a pro-life platform in the GOP platform. And everything is greatly watered down. Far, 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 far better than the Democrat position, but hardly a choice between the pro-choice party and the pro-life party. So what do pro-lifers do? Again, my conviction, you can't possibly vote Democrat if you're pro-life. What do you do? How do you respond? We'll come back to that on the other side of the break. We'll get into the actual wording so you can hear it for yourself. Hey friends, Michael Brown here. Many of you know about the radical health transformation in my own life starting August of 2014, went from 275 pounds to 180 pounds, less than 8 months, not by dieting, but by radical lifestyle transformation, getting rid of the bad, unhealthy things, eating only healthy foods. I've kept it up by God's grace now for 9 years, going from 3 headaches a week to no headaches in 9 years, blood pressure as high as 149 over 103, now maybe 105 over 70 on average. I mean, radical transformation. And I encourage you to look at your life, look at your diet, ask, are you going in the right direction or do you need to make some changes? I also want to help you on a very practical level. I have added into my life as well some great supplements from our co-sponsor, Trivita. In fact, that's why we work with them, because I have personally benefited from these as well. I want to commend to you three in particular: nitric oxide, which helps with blood flow, oxygen, energy level; MyoHealth, which helps with skeletal structure, muscle, which is really important as you get older, and Nopalea, which deals with chronic inflammation. In fact, I've learned that that's the number one killer worldwide, chronic inflammation. I take these three supplements every single day. As I travel around the world, I travel with these, and I want to encourage you strongly, check them out for yourselves. 800-771-5584. Get your free online health consultation. 800-771-5584, or go to trivita.com. Use the code BROWN25. You will get a 25% discount on your entire order, whatever size it is, and 100% of your first order will go to support the Line of Fire and more than a tithe of all subsequent orders. I use these. I commend them to you. 800-771-5584.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire. 866-348-7884. By all means, you can join in the conversation. Share your own views with me as a pro-life voter. If you're not a pro-life voter, I'm happy to hear from you as well. But there's also the issue of our stance before God. In other words, how much of this is symbolic? How much of the language is symbolic in that we're making a statement before God, whatever party you belong to, or if you don't belong, however you vote, that a statement is being made of purpose, of principle, of belief, of conviction. And you are now saying, as a party, this is who we are. Does that matter in the sight of God? And if you had to say, okay, look at voting over the last 30, 40 years, overwhelmingly, the Republican Party would go in the direction of pro-life, the Democrat Party in the direction of pro-abortion. And then there are, when there have been opportunities, though, for many Republican senators, congressmen, to take stands on certain issues. Let's say they had a majority, then many of them were slow to act because, well, you gotta be more pragmatic and you gotta be super careful and you don't wanna rock the boat. So they would hide behind this idea that we can't do anything, we're in the minority. Then we're in the majority, they were slow to act. So how many were deeply, convictionally, core pro-life? God knows. Because the deal is, if you have a conviction on an issue, you do the right thing regardless of the votes. You do the right thing regardless of the outcome. You stand on a principle and say, I'm sorry, I cannot vote against this principle. I cannot stand against this principle, even if it costs me an election. Otherwise, if we compromise our convictions for the sake of a vote, we sell our soul. And we are not people of principle and backbone. We are just self-advancing pragmatists. So here's what the statement now says in the platform, all right? It's not one of the 20 promises listed in the action points, but here is what is said. We proudly stand for families and life. We believe that the 14th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States guarantees that no person can be denied life or liberty without due process, and that the states are therefore free to pass laws protecting those rights. After 51 years, because of us, that power has been given to the state and to a vote of the people. We will oppose late-term abortion while supporting mothers and policies that advance prenatal care, access to birth control, and IVF. Why even mention IVF? That's a question, in vitro fertilization, which is fraught with so many other questions and sub-discussions. Why mention that when it's relatively minor? It almost raises more questions than it answers. But let's put that aside. And let's look at this language here, all right? We believe that the 14th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States guarantees that no person can be denied life or liberty without due process. For the last 40 years, the Republican Party has basically said that because the baby is a person in the womb, it has the right to protection under the 14th Amendment, and therefore abortion should be banned nationally. And until that time, we will work, I say we as a pro-lifer, not as a Republican, but we will work to bring about change little by little by little until we see the grand goal, which also requires the changing in heart of hearts and minds across the nation. All right, so it no longer says that the baby in the womb is recognized as a person under the 14th Amendment. Now look at this language. No person can be denied life or liberty without due process, and that the states are therefore free to pass laws protecting those rights. No, hang on. If the baby in the womb is a person, then it's not a matter of the states are free to pass laws protecting that baby's life. The states are obligated to. Take it a step further. It shouldn't be a state issue. It should be a federal issue. If that is a child in the womb, protect it under the 14th Amendment. If that child in the womb is recognized as a person, then that child should be protected under federal law because of the 14th Amendment of the Constitution. Let's change the subject and go back to slavery. How would you feel if the pro-abolition party, the party that said we are the ones that are anti-slavery, they said, here's the great victory we just won. This has now been pushed back to the states. Let's say there had been the equivalent of Roe v. Wade in the 1800s that was pro-slavery, you know, in 1804. And it said that this is now something that slavery is perfectly legal. Okay, now, after decades, say in the 1850s, it now gets pushed back to the states. Is that a great thing? Now, each state can decide whether it's okay to have slaves or not. Each state can decide whether this barbaric, inhuman practice is okay. Each state can make up their mind. No, that'd be an outrage. Once you recognize the evil of it and the sin of it, you don't say let each state decide. You decide on a national level. Now, I understand that the national consciousness is not there yet in terms of abortion compared to slavery. I understand that it remains a tremendously divisive issue, and that America is not a church. It's a nation with many non-believers and many people of different faiths, and we try to work together as one, which means if we really want to see radical pro-life reformation come, it must come primarily through the work of the church and the work of the gospel and the work of education coming out of the church. The problem now is that some of the major pro-life organizations have basically said, better to be pragmatic. Better to be pragmatic. Obviously, we do not want 4 more years of Democrats in the White House with their radical pro-abortion policies and with President Biden from the beginning of his election campaign 4 years ago to now becoming increasingly more radically far left on abortion and the party continuing to move in that direction. As pro-lifers, we don't want to see that happen. So there are major pro-life organizations that have said, well, it's not ideal, it's not the best, we don't like the way we were treated here, but what's the alternative? And if you vote for a third party, you're basically guaranteeing a Democrat win. So what do you do? And obviously, Trump is going to be the candidate, barring something unforeseen with his health or something like that. He's going to be the candidate. It's too late to get another candidate in. So do we just say, okay, look, let's keep working on the state-by-state level and make sure this never happens again? Is that the right thing to do? To make clear to whoever's going to be running next, if we don't get a strong pro-life candidate with a strong pro-life platform, then we are officially going to boycott the vote for, you know, we always talk about it, never do it. Some say now is the time to do it. Some might say, well, look, let's get past this and for the next 4 years, make this a dogmatic stand that everyone knows. And then what about the fact that governors who strongly argued for pro-life legislation, like Governor DeSantis, Governor DeWine, Florida, Ohio, they won hands down. We'll come back to that. Now, I do know that there was pro-abortion generated vote with fear of a federal ban that pushed things in a surprising way to the left in Ohio as far as abortion itself. So those things did happen as well. President Trump's goal, I do believe he cares about America. I do believe he wants to see America strong and prospering. But I firmly believe that the number one goal in his mind is his own election. And therefore, because he does not have deep pro-life principles and he's not a biblically grounded man, that in his mind, this is the pragmatic way to get in. And therefore, that's what they're going to do. So how do we respond? That's the question. It's a bit late now for an uproar over this as if it's going to change anything. But is there a short-term solution? Is there a long-term solution? One of my colleagues on the stream, Catholic colleague John Zmirak, wrote an article saying, hey, don't blame Trump. It's going to take 100 years to change America on the issue of life. So these are major things to talk through. That's why we are doing it here. And it's not to me, this is not a political show. This is not a, I'm telling you to vote for this one or that one. I've said very little about politics this year by intent, before the Lord, after prayer. This is a moral cultural issue that ties in with our vote. That's why we are discussing it. Back with your calls, 866-34-TRUTH. Hey friends, Michael Brown here. My delight to serve as your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. We are living in such urgent times today, friends, that all of us are in the line of fire. There's a target on your back. There's a target on my back. If you simply seek to live by biblical values or just conservative moral values, you could be canceled. You could be cast out. You could be put down. You could be silenced. I'm here to say, friends, that I am not about to be silenced, and I don't believe you are either. It is time for us to stand up. It is time for us to say enough is enough. It is time for us to push back in Jesus' name. Not fighting the way the world fights. No, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love, overcoming the flesh with the power of the Spirit, overcoming lies with truth. And that's what we're here to do on the Line of Fire broadcast. And friends, it's not just a broadcast. It is a movement of people around the world, God's people standing up saying enough is enough and saying, Lord, here we are. Send us, use us. I want to urge you today to join our support team because we are on the front lines together. And we are literally touching people around the world, in America, in the nations, in Israel. And together with your help, we're going to amplify this voice and spread this movement around the globe. So I encourage you, go right now to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. Click donate, monthly support. Thelineoffire.org, click donate, monthly support. When you do, you become a torchbearer. We immediately send you two great life-changing books. We immediately give you access to many classes I've taught. Others have to pay to take those. You get them for free. Exclusive video audio content, a new audio message every month, an insider prayer newsletter, 15% discount on our online bookstore, so much more. Join our support team today. Go to thelineoffire.org. Donate monthly support.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends. Let me take a moment before we go to the calls. I've got a bunch more clips to play for you, some things to read relevant to the subject. 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. Before we hear from you, I just want to speak to you for a moment, heart to heart. Can I do that? And those watching on YouTube or Facebook, just want to look you in the eye and speak to you directly. God has given me grace to produce a lot, writing many books, writing many articles, doing many radio shows, traveling and speaking, preaching around the world, doing many debates, teaching at many schools. It's grace that he's given me to produce materials for the good of the body and to reach the lost, especially the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We each have our grace, we each have anointing, we each have calling. God's given me grace to do this. We have so much that's out and so many open doors to get our material out. on various media platforms where instead of just theoretically, instead of speaking to 10,000 people, I could speak to 3 million people. Or instead of speaking to 500,000 people, I could speak to 5 million people. You know, whatever the numbers are, God knows. I'm speaking to each of you as an individual, and you each matter in the sight of God. The only thing holding us back is not open doors and is not resources and material. It is the funds to get on these different platforms because they do cost money, and they are all listener or viewer supported, which means it could take several years before the new audience is actually supporting the show. So I'm appealing to each of you, if we've been a blessing to you over the years, join our support team. If the Lord prompts you to do it and you're able to do it, I believe that you will be enriched knowing that you are helping us touch many lives, that you'll rejoice as we come to you with reports of how lives have been changed through the resources. Like I tell our monthly supporters every month, together we're making a difference. And not only will you be blessing others, and I believe as we sow into the gospel that we get heavenly reward, but I don't do what I do for heavenly reward. I doubt that you do either. It's because we love God and we love people. And that's why it's our goal to pour back into you more than you pour into us. So to give you free access to online classes, exclusive audio and video content, as much as we have thousands of resources free to the public, we give additional resources to you, monthly messages, letters, discounts in the online bookstore, discounts on our Israel trip, because we just want to bless you, bless you, bless you. So would you stand with us today? I'm a much better voice for the gospel than I am a fundraiser, but this is not about funding me. This is not about funding our team. This is a matter of reaching more people. If you believe in our message and believe it's important, maybe you're a pastor, get us on your church support. Get us backed as much as we can to reach as many as we can in this urgent hour. And if you watch and listen regularly, you know that taking 2 or 3 minutes of radio time just to talk about this is rare. So go to thelineoffire.org, click donate, monthly support. It would be awesome if a bunch of you joined today. $1 a day or more makes you a torchbearer. Thelineoffire.org, click donate. With that, let us go to the phones. We'll start in Pennsylvania with Jeff. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Shalom Aleichem.
Hey, Aleichem Shalom.
Yeah. About the Republican plank platform. Yeah, it's disappointing. Both the platform itself, the abandonment of the explicit pro-life statements, and just the way, hearing that woman's testimony, the way it was done, kind of railroaded through.
Yeah.
At the same time, you know, I see it as a pragmatic thing that the other side is pillaring him for, you know, over the abortion issue, over the role he played in getting Roe versus Wade overturned, which we have to give him credit for that, you know, for 49 years, states could not legislate against abortion, and now, thank God, they can, and some have. So I see it as a pragmatic move to kind of mute Democratic criticism of, you know, saying to women, no, he's going to take away your right to reproductive health care. At the same time, I think it's also going to mute pro-life support of him in a way he probably doesn't realize. If not, you know, how it'll affect votes, I don't know. But in terms of enthusiasm, I'm not as enthusiastic. I will vote for him, but not as enthusiastically. I think it's kind of like the 1932 German election, where it was the Nazi Party against the Social Democrats and the Zentrum, and you know, Jews then voted mostly for the Social Democrat Party. You know, not that they were the best people, but anyone but someone who had formed.
Yeah. Hey. Somehow we just.
The reason I will be voting Republican. I do have some hope from history. I remember reading that in the 1860 election, Abraham Lincoln was not running, advocating the abolition of slavery. He only wanted to prevent it expanding to new states. And, you know, as an out and proud abolitionist, wouldn't have been able to have been elected probably in that time. But circumstances, the Civil War, happened where, gee, things changed and he could do it. So, you know, it may just be a longer battle for that we just have to fight.
Yeah, well, Jeff, it's certainly going to be a longer battle. Of course, you had the Emancipation Proclamation in the midst of all this in the 1800s, but it's certainly a long-term battle. It's a generational battle because it's been so entrenched.
Yeah.
So many Americans, you know, women have grown up with it. It's shocking to think this was now taken away. It's just part of life, and this was an option if there's unwanted pregnancy, etc. So it's jarring in that regard, and we have to keep working in compassionate ways to change hearts, change minds while we pass laws. Yes, I'm grateful for what President Trump did, for the justices he appointed, for the overturning of Roe v. Wade. Here's a different positive that I take away from this. So I agree with your thoughts in terms of what you're sharing. But the positive to me is this breaks the spell of many who like, Trump is the man, Trump is the savior, Trump is going to do it. That was never the case. He was never a biblically grounded, deeply spiritual, moral leader who was acting out of these convictions on these issues. So where his convictions lie, they don't lie in the same place that ours do. So it removes the veneer for some who were still putting him on this ridiculous platform. And now we can be much more pragmatic and say, okay, well, we're going to vote this way versus this way, but you better believe we can't look to the White House to get this done. We're going to have to do a much better job grassroots. Hey, thank you for calling in. I appreciate it.
Sure. Good to talk to you.
All right. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Gary in North Carolina. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, how you doing? Man, I listen to your shows, and this is sort of a combination between this show and another show, and this abortion issue is tragic and vacuous. And you've said in this other show that I was listening to about how not to get in the mud with
destructive critics. Yeah, why I don't get into mudslinging battles with destructive critics. Yeah, I mean, this is different, of course.
So
we're talking about it is. But Gary, let me throw this out to you. It's discouraging for sure, because this was an important statement that Republicans have made for decades, regardless of the outcome of the election. This was a convictional statement, just like those in the Democrat Party have their convictional statements, regardless of how the election goes. Like, this is what we believe, and we're going to stand on this hill and die here. So that's where many Republicans were, even if to the core they weren't truly pro-life. They were certainly making that statement and taking that stand. So you could have that party division. The positive to me is the reminder that social change, moral cultural change, does connect with politics, but it connects much more with the health of the church and the church on a grassroots level, living out its convictions and getting the right people into the political realm that will not compromise or fold or just go back to pragmatism, and will be people of principle. And then we can say we are believing that God will bless us for doing what is right. You can't say that here. You know what I'm saying? You can't hold to that. Yeah, go ahead.
What I feel the meaning of what you just said is it definitely starts at home. Sometimes I just feel so small.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. That's the deal. Donald Trump is a person. Joe Biden is a person. We're all just people for whom Jesus died. There's one God who has all power and all authority. Jesus said when he sent us into the world, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. And we go in his name to preach the gospel, and we pray in his name for God to move. So if we will, yes, vote, we should vote. We should make a decision as to which is the right way to vote and vote accordingly. But then we've got to put all our eggs in the gospel basket. We've got to put all our eggs on revival in the church. You know, my last two books, From Revival to Reformation, books 1 and 2, for seize the moment when God comes in revival and then turn the tide when he comes. How do we impact the culture? That's the only hope. And again, the veneer is off. The Christians who are saying only Trump can save America, just like there are others before that saying Obama is the chosen one. Now, the only chosen one, the only one who can save America is the Lord. So I appreciate you calling and being honest, though, because many others feel just as you do. And I want to encourage you.
Life.
Yeah, go ahead.
I had two different women in my life turn away from me. And later, I'm sure, did this. And I know I have two children in heaven. And
two in heaven. Oh. Hey, can we pray for you? Is that all right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know this was not the plan of the call, but obviously it's been set up. Abba, Gary is hurting, and you know him. And right now, just feeling overwhelmed by everything in the culture, the pain of his own life grips him very, very deeply. I don't know him at all. I don't know anything about his background. But I pray that you would meet him right now, that you would make yourself real to him, that you would turn his heart to you in such a way that your presence, your promises, your very person would be so real to him that there would be hope and life and light in the midst of darkness and pain and confusion. Give grace to your son who needs to know you more deeply. Take him in more deeply. Reveal yourself. And everything that was meant to hurt and destroy, may it become an opportunity for greater good in his life. In Jesus' name, amen. I bet some of you are going to keep praying for Gary, burden for him. Thank you, sir, for calling. Hey, friends, many of you know about the radical lifestyle change in my own life when I went from 275 to 180 pounds in less than 8 months. That was 9 years ago. It was a radical change in my diet and lifestyle. And I encourage all of you, put healthy eating, healthy living as a top priority in your life. We want to see a healthy you and a healthy church. There's no substitute for that, but let me tell you, there are some great supplements that can help you along the way. And these are supplements that I use daily. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about them so you can benefit as well, right here as listeners to the Line of Fire. I'm talking about our friends at Trivita, trivita.com. The number to call is 800-771-5584, 800-771-5584. On a daily basis, I take 3 Trivita supplements. One is nitric oxide, which helps with blood flow, oxygen, energy level. I've seen direct results in terms of my own energy, in terms of my own workouts and life. And then MyoHealth, especially important as you're getting older. Skeletal structure, muscle. I'm actually getting stronger now at the age of 68 with my workouts with the help of MyoHealth. And then Nopalea, which deals with chronic inflammation, which I learned since using this, is the number one cause of death in the world. This is putting money in the bank of your own health every single day. So you can get these supplements and others by calling Trivita at 800-771-5584. You'll get a 25% discount as a listener to the Line of Fire. And get this, 100% of your first order will be donated to the Line of Fire, and a tithe of all subsequent orders will be donated as well. You can also go to Trivita.com and use the code BROWN25. Let's get you healthy and strong.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire. All right, I've got a few more clips to play. Yes, thanks, team. I thought it was clip 3. That was actually clip 4 that you grabbed. So let's go back to what actually happened yesterday, which was supposed to be discussion of platform changes and things like that. Instead, it was basically, this is what the Trump team said is going to happen, and this is what happened. So this is, excuse me, some guests on the Tony Perkins Show. First, Travis Weber. So we'll go to clip number one.
Before we get into some of the specifics of some of these other issues I want to cover, just give me your 30,000-foot perspective of the platform today.
Yeah, so you know, I was able to observe the process that unfolded today, and you know, there were several things that really struck me about it. One was just the tight rein of it was really a feeling of control that was being exerted upon the whole process. And these are delegates that are selected to represent the interests of the people in a national gathering of the Republican Party to determine what policy positions the party will determine it wants to rally around. That should be a process with input, with collaboration, involving hearing the perspectives of the delegates. None of that was present, and it was abundantly clear that there was an agreement behind whoever was running things today, that they wanted to retain a tight control on things and stop that. Well, you make that decision, you get what happened. You get a frustrated group of people who are not feeling heard in a process in which they should feel heard. So that was very clear. I think it was a missed opportunity, and it was very disappointing because no one's fooling anyone. Everyone knows when someone is trying to ram something down their throat. And it was very clear that this was being rammed down the throats of everyone there today.
All right. So, again, that's what happened. It's clear there's numerous statements saying the same thing. The question is, how do you respond? How do you move forward? What is the right thing to do? That's what we've been talking about. And what I've said this far for pro-life voters, in my view, you cannot possibly vote for a Democratic presidential candidate. If there was a rare Democrat pro-life candidate somewhere else in the party running in some obscure little election, I don't know who they are. But especially at the national level, and elected officials that will be having a national impact, the Democrat platform and the candidates have been so strongly pro-abortion and so radically pro-left in so many ways, I could not possibly countenance voting there. Third party, maybe there is a party with a strong pro-life position, but if you vote that way, it's a protest vote. It's a statement vote because you know it's not going to help the Republican Party. It may hurt. In fact, if you're going to vote Republican and don't, and then it just opens the door for Democrats. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't make a statement. I'm not saying you shouldn't cast a protest vote. But the only conviction I shared is I can't see how a pro-life Christian can vote Democrat. That's what I said. But beyond that, and again, so that's my conviction. I have no authority to tell you who to vote, nor am I endorsing a candidate. I might not even tell you who I'm voting for, okay? But in any case, the other strategy is, okay, you vote GOP because at least you're going to have a better chance of getting justices appointed that are in a better direction, and Trump is going to do a better job than that than Biden or whoever else would be there. So let's vote in that direction while we keep really working hard on the state level. The only way I could see justifying that would be to say, okay, at the same time, we're going to be working hard, those that are called into the political realm, it's not my calling, those who are called into the political realm to lobby, to work with politicians, to work with parties, will be insistently saying, if you want pro-life vote in the future, you must restore the pro-life platform, and you must restore these convictions, period. Now, it's interesting to see this, but a DeSantis Appreciation Society posted this. Now, I'm going to read it the way it's written. There's an insulting description here, but I'm just going to read it as written. For those who think the GOP getting rid of the pro-life position was shrewd, the Florida Democrats and freeze-dried Charlie Crist literally threw the entire abortion ban kitchen sink at Governor Ron DeSantis, along with Don't Say Gay. He whooped them by 20 points. In fact, with that, let's go to the Lindsey Graham clip. So let's hear what Lindsey Graham had to say about that very same subject. Senator Lindsey Graham.
All right, listen, we've had the platform now has it's been voted on. It is what it is. People are.
And let me just say this. There are a lot of very rich Republican donors who I appreciate their support, who are not pro-life, who believe that social issues cost us elections. Marco Rubio ran in Florida and won big in 2022, embracing being pro-life. Governor Kemp knocked it out of the park. Every governor who ran on a pro-life agenda in 2022, they tried to demagogue the abortion issue, and they won.
Right. There were actually 11 of them that ran in that cycle. I mean, you had Governor DeWine in Ohio who signed a heartbeat bill, and he ran and one-handedly. You had Governor DeSantis, same thing. So you're absolutely right.
So the narrative that being pro-life hurts you politically is a false narrative perpetrated by the liberal media, who wants us to be ashamed or afraid of embracing pro-life policies.
All right. So the argument would be, forget being shrewd, pragmatic. It's not even shrewd or pragmatic, because if you take a strong pro-life stand, that won't hurt you in the elections. Obviously, there's debate about that, and have people been even more energized recently over fear of a federal ban on abortion, et cetera. And on the one hand, you have governors who won handily, who are pro-life, and then you have other situations where things shifted in a pro-abortion direction, and how much energy came from those voters, and is there more energy in the pro-abortion voters versus the pro-life voters? That's the pragmatic discussion. One more clip. Let's listen to what Tony Perkins from Family Research Council himself had to say about this.
All right, listen, we've had the platform now has, it's been voted on. It is what it is. People are beginning to read it, right, Seeing what's in it. What kind of reaction are you seeing from people now?
Well, I think as more people read it, they see it for what it is. It's not a bad document. It's kind of cotton candy. It's not rat poison, but it's cotton candy. You know, it's not the substance that we're accustomed to that lays out these enduring principles that movements are built upon. It does lack, as we talked about yesterday, clarity on the issue of life. It is a step back, and I don't like spin. Okay, I just don't like spin. It is a step backwards. It doesn't move us closer to recognizing that all human life, which is created in the image of God, is to be welcomed into our world and protected under our laws. It falls short of that, and it moves it further away. That said, Jody, no victory this side of heaven is permanent, nor is any defeat permanent. And so we keep going.
All right, so that's the key. Let a vote be cast in November, but those who are in the pro-life movement must push strongly and must tell Republican leaders, this is not going to happen again. And you got 4 years to make your statement and to make your effort to make that happen. And again, to me, the positive with this negative, it's definitely negative, it's bad, period. The positive spin, not spin, excuse me, that's the word Tony Perkins doesn't like, I don't like either. The positive take out of all this is that it's going to be harder and harder for committed Christian conservatives to look to President Trump as some type of savior figure if he gets reelected, to look to him as some type of savior figure, or he's the one can bring this moral and cultural change. Certain things he may be able to do. Other things, he brings a lot of damage with him because of who he is. So it's a mix, and people have to evaluate which is better. How does he affect the church? How does he affect the gospel? One of my colleagues said that he set us back 20 years with young voters because so many of our leaders publicly endorsed him and stood with him. So these are all types of issues that we have to process together. But for sure, the pro-life movement must be stronger than a party. And it must push against the party that is claimed to be pro-life and wants the votes of these people. The Democrat Party is not pushing for the votes of pro-lifers. The Democrat Party is not campaigning for your vote if you're a pro-life believer. It is not campaigning for your vote. It knows it won't get your vote. But the Republican Party is. And while it may be important to many to say, okay, I'm going to vote Republican, it is more pragmatic to do that, the reality is that it is imperative not just to continue working state by state, not just to continue working life by life, individual by individual, to change hearts as well as laws, but those called to the political realm must push within the party and must say, no more of this, no more guttiness. It's been since 1984 we've had these values, and we want to return to them. Otherwise, what's going to stop it from going further and further and further astray? What happened to the anchor? What happened to the moral bearings? They have been gutted. So that's reality. And that's a price to pay for electing someone like a Donald Trump. The good comes with the bad, and the bad comes with the good. Same with any political leader, but these are just the realities that we face. So I'm not telling you who to vote for. I'm sharing my own convictions. I am absolutely not endorsing a candidate. I did one time and don't believe I ever will again. And I may not even share who I'm voting for, because you work it out for yourself and I'll work it out for myself, and we'll discuss guidelines and principles. But for sure, this is a negative step, and pro-lifers must push back hard against it, and pro-life organizations must get an even stronger backbone to stand for what is right in the name of alleged pragmatism. What we need is to do what's right in God's sight and have his blessing. Hey, 8 o'clock tonight, those watching live on July 10th on the Bless God Studios YouTube channel, I'll be debating whether the Jewish people are still chosen with Gabriel Finocchio. You can't